Hey Alexa, what's the definition of hustle?
To be aggressive, especially in business or other financial dealings.
You're listening to the H for Hustle podcast, designed to inspire future entrepreneurs to take the leap from working for someone else to pursue their passions and side hustles and turning them into full-fledged businesses. My name is Jerome Fenton. I'm a serial entrepreneur. Every week, I'll be speaking with an entrepreneur that has taken that leap. We'll be talking about the lessons they've learned and how they've turned their passions and side hustles into full-fledged businesses. H for Hustle Podcast, welcome back. Another illustrious episode up ahead. And on today's episode, we have Jacqueline Isaacs, the founder of formerly known as Downtown Decorators, now known as Donnie Douglas. And this was a catch-up episode. We had Jacqueline on episode number 6 in our early stages of our podcast. And we talked to her in episode number 6 about her coming from being an account executive in an advertising firm to starting her interior decorating company. And now her company has grown leaps and bounds. And she's almost outgrown the Downtown Decorators name because her company has been consistently growing. So this episode, we talk about why it's important to choose a business name. Does it really matter if you choose the right business name, and why she had to change her business name? So it's a great episode for any early stage entrepreneur who's looking to name their company and why it's so important to choose the right name. So I'm not going to waste too much time. Let's get into it right now. Boom. H for Hustle Podcast, welcome back. Another illustrious guest today. We have a returning guest. So today we have Jacqueline Isaac. Jacqueline was on episode number 6. So if you didn't catch that one, go all the way back when I was a terrible interviewer listen to that episode. Jacqueline, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to chat with you again.
So Jacqueline, last time we spoke, we went over your entrepreneurial journey, how you came from being like a account executive in advertising to eventually starting your own interior decorating business. And a lot of time have passed since then. The whole world had shut down for a period of time there. How did you manage and maneuver through all of that time?
Oh gosh. Well, I mean, when we first started, when you had me on the podcast, I was Downtown Decorators, as you know. And I will say the pandemic kind of forced us into this new identity a little bit. I think when March happened, yeah. I was still kind of like denying that we were like actually getting shut down and things were all happening. So I was still like going to see clients. And then I was like, oh, this is actually really serious. So I feel like we didn't really lose much steam until probably like April-ish when, you know, we couldn't visit our job sites anymore. Everyone was remote and we were already running like a pretty efficient remote team at that time. It just became clear that like now our clients are being remote and everybody's online. So it kind of forced us into a couple of things. Just making sure that our project management systems were in place. So we invested in Basecamp. We just made sure that everybody had access to everything online. Our clients were able to communicate with us more clearly. We upgraded our Zoom membership. So we have Zoom meetings all the time. But I think the pandemic actually kind of started to push us in a direction where like our online identity became very important.
Got it.
Way more traffic on Instagram, way more traffic to our website. And it was kind of a defining moment, I think, for me to be like, oh, wow, like this is kind of the next level for the business. So what does that look like moving forward? Got
it. Do you think you would have gotten to that point if it wasn't for the pandemic?
I don't think I would have gotten there quickly enough. I think I would have just kind of like la-di-da'd my way to like a new brand name. So yeah, I do think the pandemic kind of forced my hand.
Got it. What is the biggest, I guess, business lessons you learned from that shutdown?
Oh God. have cash reserves. I think my biggest lesson was like be able to pivot really, really quickly. Like obviously nobody saw this coming. No one even knew what this was. Nobody even knew what the future was going to bring like day to day. So it was kind of just constantly a game of like, well, what's next and where do we need to go? And is this going to change our industry? Because pandemic hits and no one cares about pillows, right? Like people are getting sick and the last thing they care about is, you know, renovating their dining room because no one's using it. So it was just like, you recognize really quickly when you're in the luxury business, that you're not so, you know, required
on daily
anymore.
So did that make you change your business, like, I guess, mindset to be like, maybe I start offering some stuff that's not always luxury?
No. I looked pretty deeply into like basically who was still paying our bills and noticed that it was a lot of the commercial clients, the larger developers and the bigger businesses versus the single family kind of individual project, because they were the first ones to cut their budgets, and our developer slash corporate clients were actually the ones that were continuing to move forward. A lot of their projects are funded by the bank, and the bank did not stop lending, and the bank did not stop sending their interest payments or their interest bills. And developers and them, you know, who are building and constructing, they have to keep moving forward. So I actually decided that we were going to just find our way into that market a little bit deeper. So.
Got it. And also, you had a complete name change, because when we first started, you were Downtown Decorators and now you're Danny Douglas. Why the name change? Donnie Douglas.
Yeah.
Sorry. Why the name change?
Well, we had a client literally tell us that our name sucked and that we...
That's terrible.
That is a story, actually. And I won't say who it was, but he knows who he is. But yeah, I think we were being introduced to much bigger projects. And when I started the business, this was just a fun little side project for me. It was not meant to be what it is. And, Downtown Decorators, I remember listening to a podcast that was like, name your business after something, after exactly what you do. And I was like, okay, I live downtown and I work downtown and I'm a decorator. So Downtown Decorators was born. And I think everybody loved that name. They thought it was super kitschy and cute. But you can't be kitschy and cute at the table with some of the biggest developers or like very high-end clients. Like they don't, you know, they don't really care for that. They want to be represented by somebody who is, you know, more modern, has an updated, fresh look. And we were just kind of told that, like, you know, over and over, we may not consider your company because of the name, simply because they thought that we only worked in downtown environments and we were decorators and we were trying to show people that we could work in any environment and we were interior designers. So it just became a mechanism by which I feel like we were being held back by our own name.
Got it. So there's a lot of people listening to this right now. They're looking to start their business. They're looking to start their company. They're thinking of business name. And usually that's kind of like the trickiest thing to someone. Would you say overthink it, really spend the time to really think of something? Or would you just say, just name it whatever you want and then figure it out later?
Yeah, I think so. I always have like you in the back of my mind saying like, just get it out there. Like just do it, get it done. Like it doesn't have to be perfect. And I think I spent a lot of time on my logo for Downtown Decorators. And I was like very emotionally close to it. And it ended up almost like disserving the business at the end of the day. So it served its purpose, but I think it was more so like, just get the name together, get it out there and start working. You know, get a portfolio together. For me, like the faster I got all of that together, the faster I could show what I did and the faster I would have gotten to Donnie Douglas, which is the next level for our company.
Got it. And was it like, did you have like a funeral service for the Downtown Decorator? Did you like put it to bed or you just did a DBA really quick?
I'm so excited to get rid of that name. Please change my logo on everything. Like I did a little like Instagram announcement. I was so excited. Also, I was terrified because like, I don't know, sometimes you think that like people know you as Downtown Decorator. So one, are they even going to like your new name? Two, are they going to forget who you are? Like a couple of people on Instagram reached out and was like, I didn't realize this was still you. Like I was looking for Downtown Decorators and I couldn't find you. And then I had to really look back. So that was my biggest thing that I was most afraid of.
Yeah.
But we just, like, what is it called when you just auto forward like your website address to the new domain?
Yeah. Yeah. A redirect. Yeah.
Yeah. We just did a bunch of that and now I'm over it. So.
Got it. And did you put as much, you know, love and care into the second name, into like, did you really like, you know, I need the logo to be this perfect, or you're like, I don't even care, let's do something.
Here I am being such a hypocrite. I'm like, don't worry about it, just get it out there. But yeah, I don't want to do this again. So it was very important to me that like this logo could be used for a long time. Like there's no reason why this the name Donnie Douglas. There's no reason why we can't use this forever or just let that be our brand identity moving forward. If I want to do something different, I said, I will just create a different company and that'll be an offshoot of Donnie Douglas. But this for me was like, this is it. Like, this is what we're entering into the world with now. And I wanted it to be, you know, stay for a while.
I think I told you this before, but the name is so like masculine and like strong, which it feels like to see you behind that is like, doesn't quite match to me, but. So, you know, there's someone listening to this. The naming is so important. Do you, what would you say to someone right now? Think about like further out, because only until you started working with commercial clients is where this became an issue, right? When you were working with residential mom and pops, just fixing a dining room or something, this didn't really matter so much. Would you think this far out, think of the type of clients you want and name your company like that?
Yeah, I would say like for me, if I had sat down and said like, I really want to, you know, design a hotel or I really want to design like a big, beautiful building, I think I would have thought to myself, well, Downtown Decorators, like who's going to take that name or that company seriously when you're pitching, you know, $1 million business. So I think if I actually sat down and did that, yeah, I don't think I would have come up with Downtown Decorators. But I think that was just me not taking myself seriously when I started the company. And I think it was reflected in the name.
Got it. So you didn't take yourself seriously. And then eventually you built up to a point where people didn't take you seriously.
Correct.
Yeah, that's really important. I think that's a very valuable lesson. And I wanted to bring you on for that because there's so much people that they arguate over their business name. And sometimes I'm, you know, my advice, just start and figure it out later. You can always change because, again, you are the front of the brand, right? So Jacqueline Isaacs is Donnie Douglas. So if they know you, then it doesn't matter what your business name is besides that. Mm-hmm. Got it. So I just wanted to kind of touch on that a little bit because I thought that was massively important. When we spoke about it, I was like, huh, that really does make a big difference in going forward. But I was wondering if you should stop or people should not do it or not pay attention to it or just, you know, focus on whatever. So that was something that I really wanted to bring you on for. So where does the future of Donnie Douglas lies now?
I want to be like the East Coast design firm and I want projects, you know, along the Eastern seaboard, I guess you can say. You know, I think we've proven the past like year or so that we could design anything anywhere. So I'm really looking to work on, you know, a hospitality project and things that allow us to be like really wild and creative. I think, you know, style is like not your average designer. Mm-hmm. We're very, we're for certain people. and I just want to work on like the craziest stuff. So I think my next project would be, I would love for it to be a hotel, but I really want to work on a yacht. So if anyone's got a yacht that needs redesigning, you
a yacht. Wow. So are you completely moved away from the family that wants their dining room, bedroom decorated or?
No, that's probably 3/4 of our clients right now. So okay. It's more so the family that calls us is like, we love your stuff. You know, we don't want what everybody else has. We really want something different. And I think they also see that like we incorporate a lot of antiques too. Like we have a love for that. So I think people call us now finally because they like our look and feel.
Got it.
When we were Downtown Decorators, I don't think anybody called us and was like, we love your look, you know, or your vibe. I think we've tried to be very specific around building a look and a feel around Donnie Douglas. Like I want it to be a Donnie Douglas community and I want that to feel specific. Whereas Downtown Decorators was just us, like me throwing things at the wall and hoping things. So.
Got it. And me listening back to our first episode to now, you sound more, before it was I, now it's us. So how has that team building growing happening?
Good. Oh my God. It's so scary. But it's awesome. So yeah, so I've been working with Brooke. We have about, I'd say like 4 people that work, not full-time. Most of them are contractors, but they're pretty much dedicated to our business. So we just haven't brought anybody on full-time. We are hiring our first full-time person soon, hopefully, I think next week. So that'll be employee, like official employee number 1. But we've tried to build a better team, not like a bigger team. Mm-hmm. So I've been very, very like picky about who I work with. I'm very like client oriented. So for me, like I have absolutely zero tolerance for any attitude or anything towards clients. It's extremely important to me that clients feel like good and respected and they love us and we love them. So it's hard to find people who are like, you know, clients above all else and always have a smile no matter what, because our industry is very difficult. I've been very specific. So I've been working with Brooke for a couple of years. She does all of our sourcing. We just brought on Andrew, who does all of our drawings. And then we're bringing on another person who's going to help run projects. But it's been, we've had a lot of people kind of like in and out helping us on a freelance basis. But now it's very clear when you get to a point where you feel like in order to grow your business and bring it to the next level, you can't do everything on your own. And I've needed to delegate, and I realize I have enough work finally to be able to delegate to someone completely so we could move on to the next.
That's a very good point. I wanted to touch on that a little bit. Do you think you should have hired before you were ready, or you wanted to build up to the point where you had so much business, you were so busy that you needed to do it? Which one you think would have been better for you, what you did or hired before?
Honestly, I don't know how I would have rationalized to myself how I could have hired someone without having the work to back that person up. And I think in a lot of people's minds, it's like, sure, but like, you know, the work will come or what, but I would never want to be responsible for somebody's livelihood without knowing for sure that my pipeline was full of projects and I could pay for them.
Got it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the right or wrong way to do it. It's just for me personally, like, it's nerve-wracking just to even bring on one person and commit to that much money. But it's, I know it's needed, and that's the direction we want to take it. But I don't think I could have ever just been like, yeah, sure, eventually, like, we'll get enough projects. That's not how I work. I'll work myself like to the bone and then finally be like, help. So
Got it. I was looking at our analytics like 2 weeks ago, and the female audience has kind of grown from the last time that I've, we're about 33% women audience. So I would like to know, what's your advice for the aspiring lady boss out there? Because you're always doing it and you're always doing it with a smile. What advice would you have for them?
Oh my gosh. Ask for help when you need it. I think with women, we try to take on a lot of stuff, and we think that we can handle a lot of, whether it's stress, whether it's workload, and we can do everything. And I think it's for me personally, it's very difficult to sit here and say like, I need help, or, you know, I'm at my max. I find when somebody just kind of even like for a second, maybe tells me that I can't do something, or maybe I should not, or if I ever get like a whiff of that, I almost become like, you know, the monster where I'm just like, you know what, because you said I can't do it, like, I'm just gonna do it.
That good or bad?
Yeah, I think that sometimes that leads to you just being like, you know, a psychopath in your business, where you're just doing 1,000 things and you're finding that like you're not actually moving your business forward in a way that's healthy for you. You're just getting things done to prove people wrong. And I went through that phase when I was starting this business, but I think to grow a healthy business, you have to be aware of like what makes you happy, and what makes you happy is not being the person that does every single thing all the time. So for me, it's always been like, women need to just be okay and confident to just be like, hey, you know, I could use a hand, or say no, like, you can't take on this extra project, or we have a wait list, or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you have to be cognizant of how much time you really have, because we are busy ladies. So
got it. That's very good advice. Ask for help when you need it. And I know you're not good at that.
I think for some reason, I find that we like glorify busyness. And yeah. I don't know if it's like an American thing, but it's like, everybody always wants to be busy. And I'm like exhausted. I'm tired of being busy. Mm-hmm. I want to do work that I love, but I don't want to just be busy to be busy. Like, I don't want to have a busy schedule and not see my friends and not hang out with my husband and not being able to like walk the dog because I feel guilty because I should have been like on a meeting this morning. It's like, you know, I think we need to sit down and just say like, let's glorify, you know, having a healthy, successful business.
And whatever that means to you, right? You started the business to kind of create the life you want, not like this life that everyone aspires you to have.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know I love being an entrepreneur. I love owning my own business. I love owning my own schedule, my own time. I could never go back to a 9-to-5, you know, where someone tells me what I can make and someone tells me when I work. Like I could never do that. And I think that's probably most of your audience who's looking to get out of the grind is to have more control over their whole life. And with that comes, you know, basically taking on all the departments that you were just a small part of in your corporate job, right? Like mm-hmm. you're now an accountant, a financial controller, you're doing forecasting, you're also doing the actual work. So it's like, there's going to be a period of time where you are the be all end all. And then I think you have to recognize when you get to that point where it's like, okay, if I want to grow my business and take my life back, I need to start to hire people.
Got it. Very solid advice, by the way. And it is an American thing, because when you go to other countries, they're like, nah.
I know, they're on vacation for like a month and a half.
Yeah, like we're taking 8 weeks off, like 8 weeks. You know, I was talking with a friend of mine. We were on a call with like Germans and they were like, yeah, we're taking 7 weeks off. I was like, the whole company? They're like, yeah, everybody. I'm like, wow. I'm like, 7 weeks, it's impressive. So but it's, again, they still have a high level of productivity and they don't have to work as hard, right? So we must be doing something wrong, or they're doing something really right. All right, so I do want to thank you again for being on the show. You know, one thing that I would love to see you decorate in the future is like a startup or like a tech company. I would love to see your aesthetic and how you would put that all together.
Yeah, it's always been residential. We've done a couple of commercial spaces. We're now doing like co-working spaces and things like that, but it's still in multifamily residential. So I posted something on my Instagram the other day, which was like, thinking about where we were 3-4 years ago and what we're working on now. Like, I'm really excited to just see like everybody in this industry where they will be in 4 years. But thinking about like where we will be in 4 years, it's like, I don't know, it's really cool and terrifying. And maybe it'll be a startup.
Yeah, I would love to see what that looks like, because aesthetically, I just want to walk into one of a startup you decorate, like, wow, this is interesting.
Startup and a yacht. I would also really like it.
So when you say this yacht, are we talking about like a Jeff Bezos mega yacht, like a $60 million yacht, or?
I'll take the $10 million yacht. I don't care. Right. I mean, for what we want to do, all the spaces, yeah, I mean, that would be the ultimate goal. But like, I'm trying to be a little realistic. I think the yacht is even like a little out there, but so you got to put it out to the universe and hopefully someone's listening.
Got it. Someone in Miami. Nice. We'll be down there for a while.
I mean, you have to pay for a hotel. I'll stay on the yacht.
I believe it's gonna come. Someone's gonna listen to this and be like, I found a perfect yacht designer for you.
To the yacht owner's ears.
Cool. So if people want to find you, they want to reach out, where should they reach out? What website should they go to?
Instagram. I'm so basic when it comes to social media. I have not really expanded into anything else, but right now it's Instagram. It's at Donnie Douglas, D-O-N-I Douglas Designs.
And website?
DonnieDouglasDesigns.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being in the show. Thank you so much for your time today.
Sir, appreciate you.
And just like that, another episode is in the can. Guys, I love catch-up episodes, right? I love just following the journey of someone that we spoke to. And when we spoke to Jacqueline, she was maybe year one, maybe year two in her business. And now she's, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ahead now. And you get to see where she's at. She's hiring people. She's building a team. She had to change her company name. And again, these things are like massively important to see the growth of someone and see what's possible. You know, you see someone make that transition from quitting that job to starting a company, and now she's hiring people and people rely on her for a paycheck, which is like mind-blowing. So I love catch-up episodes. I hope you guys got a lot of takeaway from it. I'm gonna end the episode right here with the quote from the late great Nipsey Hussle, the quote that I always give you guys. The quote goes, "This game will test you. Never fold, stay 10 toes down, because it's not on you, it's in you, and what's in you they can't take away." That's it, guys. Peace. Boom.